ATC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. 25th of March, Friday night edition of the show. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got my big, giant, red, insulated cup of flavored water.
Oh, that sounds so not exciting.
Guess what flavor I've got tonight?
Cherry?
I've got water-flavored water.
Oh, water. Oh, the same flavor I have. The same boring flavor.
I ran out of grape-flavored water, and I didn't have time to make another pitcher of it. So.
Okay.
Water-flavored water.
Okay.
But
it's wet.
It's wet. It's cold. I got ice in it. You know, I got to tell folks, I got this insulated mug. Not that they're paying me to say this, but it's called Wild Gear. Okay? And I just got a pop-up here, for goodness sakes. Wild Gear. And I swear to God, it is the best insulated mug I have ever owned in my life.
Oh, okay.
I can put ice in here and put a drink in here, whether it's, you know, water or soda or iced tea or whatever it is. And it will sit here with, you know, if I don't drink it, it'll just sit here and I'll pick it up. Literally, I can pick it up 8-10 hours later and there's still ice in there.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And I it's a big one. It holds like 24 ounces and I put hot coffee in it the other day, and then I walked away and I forgot I had coffee sitting here on my desk, and I came back 6.5, almost 7 hours later, and the coffee was still hot.
Ah, okay.
So.
Okay.
That's a great little mug, and it's bright red. It matches my desk.
Oh, well, that's unique.
It is. That's special. I'm special.
Okay.
Oh, folks, it's Friday night. We've got a one-hour show for you tonight. And there are some things we need to discuss tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, it's getting a little weird out there.
It's getting quite repetitive.
Well, it is. I mean, you get a little bit of other stuff sprinkled in, but everything kind of gravitates back to the war in Ukraine and Russia's illegal invasion and their war crimes that they continue to pour on. But there is some interesting news coming out of there in that the Ukrainians are pushing Russia back away from Kiev.
Yes, and there's also another thing that happened late this afternoon where Putin said, well, we can discuss peace if Zelensky agrees that the national language of Ukraine will be Russian. And he said, not happening.
Well, his exact quote was, "Nyet."
It is so refreshing to see a man quite like Ronald Reagan with his famous, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Kind of, Zelensky is a younger version in his courage, his fortitude, and his strength in standing up to one of the world's worst dictators.
You know, it's been a very interesting month. It's been exactly a month now that this war's been going on. Most people thought, well, it's going to take a couple of days, and Russia's just going to steamroll Ukraine, and that'll be that. Well, that's certainly what Putin thought, but it certainly hasn't turned out that way. Ukraine sunk a ship right there in one of the ports and chased a couple others off after they damaged those others.
Right.
You know, and having that big ship, the one that transports large artillery and tanks and everything, having that thing go to the bottom right there means no other ships can use that particular part of the port now.
Right. And the Russian ships that were left there have started to pull back. In other words, leave the port because they're afraid if it happened to the one ship and none of them had any clues that, you know, what the Ukrainians were going to do, they're afraid it can happen to other ships.
Well, and rightly so.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the thing, rightly so. So the Ukraine army, given their limited stockpile of weapons and the fact they have no fly zone, are actually doing remarkably well.
They are. I mean, they've totally turned the use of Molotov cocktails into an art form.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, it is amazing what they have been able to accomplish with bottle bombs, basically.
Well, and, you know, let's face it, they do have stingers, they do have javelins, yeah. They do have use of some killer drones, you know, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, but they're giving the Russians a lot more than the Russians ever thought they'd get.
Well, Russia was supposed to be in and out in 3 or 4 days. And what do they have to show for it? 5 of their generals have been killed by the Ukrainians. Putin is probably, you know, having a fit back at the Kremlin. Thousands of Russian troops have been killed. Other Russian troops are refusing to fight the Ukrainians when they come up into the cities. You know, seeing them, they're like laying their weapons down. I mean, this whole war is going to turn into Putin's folly.
Well, I think it already has. I mean, the conservative estimate of the number of Russian soldiers that have been killed is right now sitting at somewhere right in the vicinity of 7,000, maybe 7,500. And when you think about it, you know, when American troops were in Afghanistan for 20 years,
right.
We lost 7,000 troops.
Right, well, we lost less.
Russia's lost that in a month.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. You know, here it was, Putin always bragged his military was the best in the world, that it's even surpassed the U.S. military. And now a ragtag group of Ukrainian resistors is holding back Putin's forces. And that is truly amazing.
Well, and, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, let me ask you this question. How ragtag are they when in 2014, after Russia went into Crimea, the Ukrainian troops from that point on were trained by American Green Berets?
Right. They know what they're doing. There are, you know, mostly civilians. There is a Ukrainian army. But the problem here with what's happening now goes back to 2014 because Obama did nothing about Russia going into Crimea. And basically, by doing nothing, coupled with Obama's infamous words, you know, about a minor incursion would be okay, has actually laid the groundwork for what Putin is now doing.
Well, absolutely. And you got to figure Putin paid a lot of attention back in 2014 as to the U.S. response, which is why he waited and invaded once Biden was in office, because he knew with Obama still in control, he was going to get the same kind of response.
Exactly. And people, you've really got to accept the fact Obama is actually pulling the strings. And let me tell you why. If you remember during the Trump presidency, Obama was out there making nasty comments, speaking against Trump. He was out there visible.
Right.
So you kind of knew what he was doing, where he was doing it. However, you notice since Biden's been elected, and especially since this war has happened and the economy is tanking, suddenly Obama is very, very quiet. And you really have to be cautious of a quiet animal, more so than one that's in the open.
Well, he's busy. He's quiet because he's busy. Biden can't do anything on his own. So, I mean, Obama is literally running the country.
Exactly. And today's presser in Poland was one of the biggest disgraces I've ever seen. Here Biden goes into Poland to see the refugee crisis, to talk to the Polish people who are helping the Ukrainians, and talk to Ukrainians who have been ousted from their homeland. And he has to read off a script.
Yeah.
And he looked as white as a ghost. He sounded feeble. Why he was even there is beyond me, because basically, you know, he's let NATO, the other NATO members, run the show. Here it is. We are the biggest monetary contributor to NATO. We are the biggest military contributor to NATO. And he's letting others run the show.
It's because he can't figure out what day it is. I'd be surprised if he even realizes where he is.
I doubt he does. I don't know about you, Craig, but I've seen, you know, from his start at the NATO summit, going into the EU summit, going into now this Polish conference, I've seen a man actually melting before our eyes, losing any sense of strength, any sense of coherentness. He literally has to follow a scripted sheet.
Well, now, he did go off script today for a little while, and it was a disaster.
Right.
He was over there in Poland. He went and visited American troops in Poland, right, because we've got about 10,000 of them over there. Uh-huh. So he went to one of the bases, and he walks in there, and it's lunchtime, right? And, you know, he's got his jacket on, but he took the tie off, you know, because he wants to look like, you know, the rough and tumble president that he is, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he's standing around in there, and those troops that were in that mess hall having lunch, they couldn't have cared less that he was there.
That's,
you know,
right.
when Trump went someplace, when he went to a military base, oh, my God. I mean, it was crazy. People, all these troops trying to get close to him, taking selfies, you know, wanting to shake the man's hand. These guys didn't even stand up.
Well, you want to go back further than that. I mean, no matter what George W. Bush did or didn't do, whether you agreed with him or not, the American troops respected him and he respected them. And he was greeted warmly by troops wherever he went.
Well, yes, but now you've got the situation of Afghanistan that plays into this. And those troops over there in Poland know that the quote-unquote commander-in-chief turned his backs on American troops in Afghanistan.
Exactly. And many of these troops in Poland have gone there from Afghanistan. So they know exactly what went on. Not only did he turn his back on American troops, but there are still American civilians in Afghanistan who cannot get out.
Right. So there he is today in Poland in this mess hall, trying to talk like a regular Joe to our military personnel over there, and they couldn't have given a crap less that he was even in there. So what does he do? He goes off script. He starts talking about, guess who? His son, Bo.
I know.
Okay, oh. And he's telling this goofy-ass story about one time he was, you know, on board a ship or something. He was looking for Bo, and he couldn't find him, and he asked people, you know, where's my son? And they said, then I saw him, and I went over to him, and he had a different name on his uniform. It was Hunter. And he said, what the hell's going on with that? And he said, my son told me that you know, I'm over here and I got named Biden on there and people think something's up. So I had to change it to Hunter, which was his mother's maiden name. Now he's telling this, slurring his words, barely audible. People are trying to eat pizza. And he's rambling on about this. And these soldiers are looking at him like, really, who gives a crap?
I know. You know, no disrespect to his son, because Bo did serve his country. No disrespect meant to him. But, you know, if your spirit is around anywhere, tell your father to stop invoking your name all the time.
I saw one soldier today take a selfie. One.
One. Really? One. Probably a Democrat.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Okay, I'm just guessing. I have no way of knowing this. I'm just speculating here. I'm guessing he probably sent it in an email to somebody back home and said, look at the asshat that walked into the mess hall today.
Or he's one of the military woke members.
This guy didn't look woke.
Okay. Remember, Biden has turned our strong military that Trump really got back in order and fixed up after what Obama did. And in less than a year and a half, you know, now instead of learning fighting and survival and certain skills the military needs, they're going to classes to be gender accepting.
Well, isn't that what you want out of the military?
And learn all their pronouns and use them correctly.
Good God.
I know how far our poor, beloved America has fallen under this administration. We're really a laughing stock on the world stage.
Well, Diane, you wouldn't want to use the wrong pronoun and offend our enemy in the field of battle, would you?
Oh, no, God forbid. Better, you know, if I was in the field of battle, I would stand up there and say, Putin, guess what? Your time is over.
Somebody needs to. Now, yes. With all that going on over there, and, you know, we stand firmly with the Ukrainian people and with the Ukrainian yes. military and Zelensky right now, because they've got a monstrous attack, you know, situation that they're dealing with over there. Mm-hmm. But along, you know, with all that that's going on, over here in our country, Ketanji Brown Jackson is in hearings to become the next Supreme Court Justice.
Well, let me say one thing, Craig. After her fiasco, where she couldn't even provide a definition for the word woman, I mean, she had a claim, well, I'm not a biologist. No, you're a woman. You can't describe a woman. Any member of the Senate who votes for this woman is as stupid as she is.
You know, the follow-up question when, you know, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene is the mm-hmm. one that asked her if she could, you know, provide a definition of the word woman. And no, I can't. I'm not in this context. I'm not a biologist. Well, first of all, what context? But what does being a biologist have to do with it? But the follow-up question would have been, Well, what are you?
Right. Well, actually, it was Senator Blackburn.
That's who it was.
The question to her. What she was doing was pandering to the woke, to the left, to the AOC crowd. That's all she was doing. But if she is that stupid that she can't answer a simple question, how the hell can anyone allow her to sit on the Supreme Court and make decisions that affect us all?
I simply, if I was Blackburn, I would have said, well, what are you? Yeah. I'd be very curious. If she can't offer a definition of the word woman, I'd be very curious to know what she thinks she is.
I don't think she's Michelle.
I know exactly what you mean. No, I don't think so. But, you know, if she can't define woman and, you know, she's not a biologist, does she have any idea what she is? You know, because you're right. If you can't define something that simple, literally something that a three-year-old could offer some sort of an explanation of.
Right.
If you can't do that, you should not be in the position you're in. You should not be sitting there being considered for the highest court in the land. You shouldn't be on any court.
Nor should she be allowed to even be nominated. They should have stopped it right there. When she couldn't define what a woman is, that hearing should have been stopped. Her nomination, if they had any conscience, should have been pulled. This woman, I'm sorry, is a frickin' moron, and it has nothing to do with her skin color, her sex, or anything. It has to do with common sense and using your brain. There are two sexes. That's it. You're either male or you're female. None of the other stuff is real. It's play acting.
Well, and that's only part of the problem with her. It's also becoming very clear, very quickly, that she is way soft on crime, and she apparently has a real soft spot in her heart for pedophiles.
Yes, and another little soft spot of hers is she's already made up her mind to go against any changes in the abortion law, because she said it's set law, and that's how she accepts it.
Right. Now, you know, she's got a history of being supportive of CRT.
Right.
She's got a history of soft on crime. She's got a history of handing down very light sentences to pedophiles. But you know, on the CRT thing, she gave a speech a while back where she talked about a book, Faces at the Bottom of the Well, or something like that. And it's a book by some guy who is a real proponent of CRT and a real hater of the U.S. Constitution and everything. And in this speech, and this was a year or two ago, she was talking about how she grew up as a child with that book on the coffee table. Her parents had that book, and they had it on the coffee table, and how she used to look at the cover photo, and there was a smiling face at the bottom of the well, and she couldn't understand how somebody could be so happy with a book with that title on it, and, you know, all of this stuff, right? Well, turns out that book could not possibly have been on her parents' coffee table when she was a little girl growing up, because the book wasn't written until she was in college.
Oh, so she's a liar to boot.
Now, aside from that, one of the chapters in the book, the author is talking about his absolute disdain for the Constitution of the United States, and Ketanji Brown Jackson claims this is one of her favorite books of all time. Okay, she's in a position now where she is being considered as a Supreme Court justice, where her job for the rest of her career is going to be interpreting the Constitution of the United States. And apparently, she frickin' hates it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a little bit more on the critical race theory part. She's a board member of a private school that is teaching not only critical race theory to kindergartners, but the fact that kindergartners can change their gender. And when she was pressed on that particular issue, her answer was, I don't remember.
Yeah, you don't remember. Ted Cruz was pushing her on that.
Yeah.
And yeah, she doesn't remember. And then she said that, you know, CRT is not something that she deals with as a judge. And Ted Cruz quoted her from a speech she gave a little over a year ago, where she literally said that she takes CRT into account in her judicial decisions. So, I mean, she's a liar. She's into the CRT thing. She's about as woke as they get, you know, even though she's in a mental coma. I mean, this woman has no business being in that position. None.
None. And yet she's going to get probably confirmed.
Right.
Because, you know, the ones that we were hoping would be holdouts on it, again, Joe Manchin and Sinema. Sinema has not announced her decision yet, but Manchin apparently is going to vote for her. So any hopes we had for Joe Manchin, you know, killing the bill back better and all that, it's just been dashed again.
Well, Waffle House Joe is... he's kind of flip-flopping around on that Build Back Better thing now.
Yeah, yeah. He's now saying, well, if they do this, if they do that, if they lower the dollar amount. But that, I'm thinking he's got something up his sleeve, because it's already known that the AOC group will not vote for it if $1 is even lowered.
Right. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, for God's sakes, Manchin... You know, you can't, I don't see how you can sit there, listen to this woman blather, and hear all the crap. She can't define a simple word. She's into the CRT. She's as woke as they come and as dumb as a stump. And how you can sit there and think, yeah, she'll be fine. We'll put her on the Supreme Court. It's beyond me.
They're heralding her. The Democrats are heralding her as, look how wonderful she did, and, you know, oh, she's so learned and this and that. She's almost like a female version of Obama in her hatred of the Constitution and everything that makes us, as Americans, who we are. But remember, the only reason this woman was picked was because the squad held Biden to his promise of nominating a black woman. How about nominating someone with the qualifications?
And I think the litmus test now is, can you define woman?
Right.
I think that becomes, if you can't provide a definition for the word woman, you're out.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Or even the word man. I mean, it goes both ways. Here's another one. Why don't you hit them with a scientific thing? Do you believe people can be transgender? And they'll say, yes, no, blah, blah, blah. And then you come back with, no. In order to switch your gender, you have to switch your DNA. Why not hit them with science?
Well, you
real
know,
science, not Fauci type science.
Archaeologists and anthropologists have been digging up bones of people that have been dead for hundreds of thousands, maybe even a million years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they've only found either men or women.
Yep.
You know.
There's been no he, she's. This whole thing is ridiculous. This whole entire woke culture that we seem to be wallowing in. Please, Trump, if you do become president in 2024 again, with Ron DeSantis as your vice president, just EO out everything.
Instantly.
Don't even wait for day one in office. Go right from swearing in to the Resolute desk and do it.
Yeah, before you even shake somebody's hand, just have a whole stack of stuff there and a pen and just start signing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way Seriously. It's got to be done. Folks, yes. We've made it to the bottom of the hour. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be coming back in a couple of minutes, and we've still got plenty of stuff to talk about tonight, so stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
To prevent anything from happening. This is going to take time.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night show, 25th of March. And if you miss any part of tonight's conversation, all you have to do is go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast button, and you can become one of the proud pod people.
Yes. And this week we picked up, Craig, 100 more from just last week's show.
That's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. We love our pod people. Yes, you know, we started tonight talking about the situation in Ukraine and all of that. And there has been some information that came out regarding the bombing of that children's hospital and maternity ward, in that we now know exactly which Russian military cretin is responsible.
Yes, his name is Colonel General Mikhail Mitzintsev, Mizintsev.
Mitzintsev.
And he was also the one that ordered the gas attacks in Syria.
Now, I got to tell you, I saw the picture of the guy, and if you were going to create a villain, let's say for a James Bond movie or something like that, and that villain had to be a Russian butcher of some sort, this is the guy that you would base that on.
Yeah, he's very strange looking.
He's got
shocking white hair in like a crew cut. and his eyes are the coldest ice blue I've ever seen. It's almost like this man is a reincarnation of Hitler.
It's
not so much look-wise, but the whole demeanor of him.
It is creepy. Just looking at him is creepy.
Yes.
I mean, yeah,
he coordinated. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's got that kind of thousand-mile stare. I mean, he's not going to look anybody in the eye. And, you know, he's got this almost expressionless face.
Yeah.
You know, it's just creepy. Creepy.
Not only did he coordinate the bombing of the children in maternity hospital, but he also was the one that directed the attack on that shelter, the movie shelter that had the words children inside all over.
Right, that theater.
They knew exactly. These were not bombs just shot off that randomly hit these two targets. These were deliberate to cause more and more civilian damage, collateral damage, with the hopes that that would, you know, crash Zelensky.
Well,
thankfully, it made him more angry.
It galvanized Zelensky. It galvanized the Ukrainian people. It did just the opposite of what they hoped. Those attacks, those two in particular, were meant to be terror attacks. Strike fear into the hearts of Ukrainians. Make them beg Zelensky to surrender so that nobody else would ever get killed. And it had just the opposite effect.
Just the opposite. And the one thing I will say, NATO is standing solidly behind Ukraine, except for the fact that they're just not doing what Zelensky really needs, and that's the air power. They're all letting Putin call the shots of what will be allowed and not be allowed in this war. And that gets me furious.
NATO leaders, including the idiot in our White House, they have got to come to terms with what's really going on over there. Putin is running NATO.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he's running the whole war. He's calling all the shots.
He doesn't have to invade Ukraine. He's already in charge of Europe.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
But today also, I forget which country, but one of the major countries is severing their gas ties and oil ties with Russia. It's a start. But what all of Europe needs to do is not get any gas, not get any oil from Russia. Get them from Australia, get it from Canada. And if Biden would, you know, have 1 ounce of compassion for the people in this country as well as in Ukraine, we'd be, you know, powering up our oil and coal industry again.
Yep. But that's not going to happen.
No.
Maybe
in 2022 November, when we take back everything, maybe we can force it. But then again, he has the veto power.
Well, for now.
Right. For now.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Craig, we got to add one more thing.
What?
One more thing. You know how we were all saying Biden's not going to run again? Well, today, during one of the question and answers, he actually said he's looking forward to going head-to-head with Trump again.
He doesn't have a choice. He has to say that. He said that yesterday in Brussels.
He also said it today.
You know, and he doesn't have a choice, because if he says, no, I'm not going to do it, then he's dead in the water right now.
He already is.
Well, he is, but he doesn't know it.
True.
You know, so yeah, I mean, he's been told to say that, hey, if it ever comes up, this is what you say, you know. His poll numbers are now in the 30s.
Yeah, the lowest of any president in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
and rightly so, might we add.
Yes, exactly. Back over here in our country, we've got a couple of interesting situations going on. Apparently, President Trump has had it up to here, and you can mark that where, you know, however high above your head you want here to be. He's had it up to here with Hillary Clinton and a bunch of other people, and he has filed suit.
Yes. And the suit basically is for her, what he calls, unthinkable Russia plot back in 2016, which actually hurt his family, hurt him, and set the whole scenario going for the Never Trumpers, for those who worked against Trump during the 4 years he was president. It was a smear campaign that just took on a life of its own.
Well, and I saw one of Trump's main attorneys talking about this last night, and she really was pretty relaxed, and she said, you know, it's really nice being able to file a lawsuit when all the evidence has already been gathered on your side.
Yes. I mean, the Democrats have been exposed as the ones who were the ones who, you know, collaborated with Russia.
Right.
It was never Trump or any of his people. This was a fabricated story that took hold with the Steele dossier and grew a life of its own from there. But the bottom line is Hillary Clinton knew about it. Her campaign helped pay for it, and she did nothing to stop it. In fact, Craig, I actually think she was one of the little minds that put it all together.
Well, she is, and the emails that they have uncovered actually prove that, and that's one thing the attorney was talking about last night, is that in emails, in a paper trail, emails that Hillary did not manage to delete,
right,
it has been revealed that she authorized the Steele dossier and the using of it to get the FISA warrants. So she's in this all the way up to her head.
Well, let's put it this way. Any musings of her running in 2024 have just had a stake driven through her heart.
Yes, they have.
Yes. That is retired, you know, should retire from public life and just fade away.
Here's the thing.
In jail, I might add.
Here's the thing. These charges are going to include RICO and racketeering charges.
Yes.
I mean, they're going after her. And it's not just Hillary. It's other people that are involved in this, too.
Yeah, but you know, you forget something, Craig. They're not going to, you know, convict Hillary because, remember, she's their greatest, suicide-inducing machine.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I were some of these other people that are named in this lawsuit, I'd start singing like a canary right now.
And then asking to be in the witness protection program.
In that order, you know?
Yes.
Because the dirt is all there. But, you know, Bill Barr uncovered a lot of it. The Mueller report actually uncovered a whole lot of it. John Durham has uncovered a whole lot of it and is still uncovering more of it. All the evidence is there. They did this. They did it deliberately. These were not mistakes. These were not oopsies. Right. And, you know, this was a syndicated crime operation to try and bring down President Trump, both before and after he was elected.
Yes.
You know, so this is going to get real interesting when this goes to court.
Very interesting. And if they at least get a fair judge and a fair jury, we could finally see Hillary spending some time in an orange jumpsuit.
Now, I'll tell you what I'm interested in all of this. Who is going to be on the witness list? Who is going to be called to testify? Because, oh my God, it's a who's who of the Clinton crime syndicate.
is going to put their life on the line to actually sing against her?
Look, I have not seen any list of possible witnesses to this, but yeah. Hillary was doing this. We all know it, okay? And, you know, look who else was involved in this. James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, right? Those are all Obama's people.
You forget somebody important. Andrew McCabe and yeah. Christopher Steele himself.
Right. But what I'm saying is Comey, Strzok, McCabe to a good extent. Yeah, you're right. Lisa Page. These are Obama's people.
Yep.
And if Hillary knew what was going on, and obviously she did, it's no longer speculation. It's actually provable. And Comey was in on it, and McCabe was in on it, and Strzok and Page were in on it. It's almost impossible to believe that Obama wasn't in on it, too.
Well, I was just going to say, the only chance, if this is taken seriously like it should be, the only chance Hillary has to get a lenient sentence is to give up Obama.
Unless Obama gives her up first. Whoever's gonna start singing first is going to get the best deal.
True.
I mean, that's just the way it works. You know, so this is going to get real interesting. But this is not the only litigation involving President Trump to make the news this week.
No, it isn't. Because remember good old Stormy Daniels, the aged porn star? Well, she lost her suit against Trump, and she has been ordered to pay him $300,000 in back legal fees. However, she has said she will not pay him 1 cent, and she'll go to jail before paying him anything. Good. So I hope she looks good in orange.
Well, I'll tell you what. She can go to jail before paying him anything. That doesn't mean when she gets out, she won't still owe him.
That's true.
You know?
They'll confiscate her property and anything she owns.
Now, judging by what she used to do for a living, I hope Trump is willing to be paid off in $1 bills.
Oh, that would be funny. How about in change?
Well, I mean, this is really something because, you know, she had Michael Avenatti as her attorney. Well, we all know what happened with Michael Avenatti. Michael yes. Avenatti got busted for stealing $300,000 from Stormy Daniels.
Right.
Okay, so Michael Avenatti and other things, but I mean, you know, Michael Avenatti is now sitting in prison, right? Her high-powered attorney that was on every liberal primetime show for months and months and months on end, right? He took the advance that she got for writing a book about the affair with Donald Trump, the affair that never happened.
Exactly. Okay?
And so Trump took her to court and won, and Stormy Daniels appealed that decision. And earlier this week, I think it was Monday, it might have been Tuesday, she lost the appeal.
Yes.
Yep. 300 grand.
I mean, just look at it this way. Trump is married to Melania Trump. Beautiful woman, former model.
Classy.
Has, you know, classy, speaks, I believe, 7 languages, very educated, against a porn star? Do you think he would risk his marriage to Melania for that?
I mean, Come on. Get real.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, does Trump need $300,000? No. No.
He will probably donate it all to charity. I wouldn't doubt.
Probably to a charity that helps the military or helps police officers or, you know, something like that. It's the principle of the thing.
Right.
It's the principle of the thing. And, you know, and part of that principle is that if you're going to mess with the Donald, you're going to get taken to court.
Right.
You know, he's not going to put up with this anymore. And I'll tell you who might just be next. If somebody steps up and goes after Barron Trump again, he might go after whoever that is. Because I think he's had it with that crap, too.
Yeah, and I think Melania will be the one to do that because, as a mother myself, you don't mess with our kids.
Have you seen that little kid lately?
Yeah, how big that little kid is. Tall. He's bigger than Donald.
Well, my God. I mean, the kid, and we can still call him a kid, okay? He's 16 years old, and he's 6'7" tall.
Right.
Holy crap, what are they feeding that boy?
Well, remember, Melania is tall also, so you have a tall man married to a tall woman. Logically, you would produce tall children.
Yeah, but 6'7" at the age of 16?
I know.
He's still a growing boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's also kind of a kid genius for folks who didn't understand. And from what I understand, he is one hell of a chess player.
Ah, okay.
And we're talking like genius level chess
player. World class chess player.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it. But there's some knothead out there, some liberal goon out there that's literally trying to compare Hunter Biden, of all people, to Barron Trump. And they said, well, you know, the conservatives need to shut up about Hunter Biden because they came unglued when people talked about Barron Trump. And I'm thinking, Barron Trump's 16 years old. You know, right. And when people were talking about him, he was 10. You know, when the liberals were going off. And you know, well, Barron Trump, you know, he's obviously autistic and there's something wrong with the boy. You know, he was 10 years old, for God's sakes. You know, Hunter Biden's a 52-year-old crackhead.
Crackhead puts it mildly. He's also basically a thief with what he did with Burisma and Ukraine. A criminal. I don't know if thief is the right word, but he's definitely engaged in illegal activities.
Well, like money laundering, RICO scams, trading on his father's name and his father's position. He's a grifter, if nothing else.
Yeah, and guess what? So is his daddy. He's just as guilty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
Not at all.
And, you know, but I mean, if some idiot now goes after 16-year-old Barron Trump, they're going to think twice before they do that because they now know the Donald is no pushover.
Right. Right. And if they were smart, look, you know, the person in office is fair game. And to some degree, if their spouses are political, they are fair game. But you don't do anything against the children. Even as much as I cannot stomach Obama or the move, I never said a word about the children.
No,
there should be, you know, some unwritten laws that children are off limits.
You know, and I mean, hell, I even waited until she was an adult before I called Chelsea Clinton ugly.
True.
You know, but I mean, you know, Chelsea, I mean, she's one of these typical liberal Marxist morons. You know,
and she just spews out what she's been taught. She cannot think for herself.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of a nutbag.
Yeah. Oh, total liberal loon. But she's woke. She knows her pronouns.
You know, Barron Trump, I am really, really curious to find out what this kid is going to be doing in about 10 or 12 years. You know, you look at him, you look at the fact that he's got this apparently extremely high IQ. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's already multilingual. We know that. We don't know a whole lot about him. And that's good because, you know, Donald and Melania Trump have kind of kept him, or tried at least to keep him out of the spotlight. But, you know, in another couple of years, that spotlight's going to refocus on Barron Trump. And it's going to be interesting when he's in his mid to upper 20s, what this kid today is going to be doing as an adult.
I'm sure he'll be going into the family business as far as the real estate. I'm not talking political. I'm talking what Donald Trump started in real estate, because all the Trump kids seem to have dabbled in that to some degree.
Right.
And I think he will probably also do that, but only time will tell.
You know, I mean, this is a kid that could actually wind up literally becoming whatever he wants to become. And somebody with the intellect that he apparently has, I would love to see him, become some sort of a, let's say, a constitutional attorney, something in the legal profession, because I think he would be almost unstoppable if he did.
I would hope he would become something in the sciences, because science has to get over the reputation that Fauci has given it.
Well, the problem...
We need a new generation of top scientists.
Well, we
all
do.
All kinds of scientists.
We do.
And someone,
you know,
with that IQ could easily fall into that.
He, like I said, he could wind up pretty much doing and becoming whatever he wants to become. You know, he's got that intellectual level, apparently, from what we understand. It's just going to be fascinating down the road to see what direction he goes.
Absolutely, because right now nobody has any idea. I'm sure he'll go to Penn State, where the Trump kids usually go.
Right.
But maybe not.
You know, it's hard to tell, because he's going to be more in the spotlight wherever he goes. He's going to be more in the spotlight than the rest of the Trump kids everywhere. Now, they were in the spotlight. I don't want to say they were just, you know, kind of walking through the shadows. They were in the spotlight because they were Donald Trump's kids, right? You know. But this is different now. I mean, that was Donald Trump, the real estate mogul.
Right. And it was also, you know, children with a different mother than Melania.
Right.
Ivanka Trump is also extremely smart.
Yes, she is.
Extremely smart.
You know, so it's going to be interesting, because now we're talking about the child of a president of the United States. So, you know, he's going to get the same kind of focus on him, I think, that people like John Kennedy Jr. got.
Yeah, but he was just a little, you know, young toddler, basically. He was just born during the Kennedy administration, and he was a baby.
I know, but as he grew up, that spotlight never faded. That spotlight was on him.
It never did.
And that's what I'm saying.
His death was unfortunate.
Yeah, it was. You know, I mean, you chalk it up to the Kennedy curse or, you know, whatever you want to chalk it up to. But what I'm saying is Barron Trump, as he goes through the rest of his life, he's going to deal with that kind of a spotlight and he's going to be under that kind of a microscope.
Probably. Unless he pulls totally back from public life and goes his own way.
Unless he lives in a three-story cabin in the woods in Montana, I don't know how he gets away from the public spotlight. I really don't.
That's true.
And it's unfortunate because that spotlight can limit your ability to get great things done. But Diane, we have run out of time on the show tonight.
Well, this was a fast hour, folks, and a lot to cover. But we will be back on Tuesday night in our Tuesday night format. And with that, Craig, I'll say nighty night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday.